Chapter 77. Vi was up here somewhere. Kylar's encounter with the speaker had left him shaken. He'd been sure that she'd stolen retribution. One look in her eyes told him otherwise. Now, what had looked like an unexpected move that would bring him to the center of the deceiver's web and deliver his sword back into his hand was looking like a colossal blunder. Nonetheless, Kylar bulled forward. He was committed now. The floors this high in the chantry weren't large. The Seraph's head held the speaker's office, a waiting room, some storerooms, the stairs, and a classroom. In that classroom was Vi. Kylar opened the door to the last room before the classroom. He'd kicked down enough doors. The room was at the Seraph's eyes. It was a broad, open room, but despite the light pouring in from the glass-clear eyes, it had a distinctly unused feeling, as if no one had set foot here in decades. In the center of the room stood a woman wreathed in light. Her arms were crossed over her chest, chin pointed at the floor, eyes closed. She wore a short, gossamer robe that ended at her knees. Halfway down her shins, her skin changed from a shade too golden to be merely sun-kissed to the purest white alabaster. As Kylar stood, stunned by this unexpected beauty, he saw the alabaster recede to her ankles, to her toes. The woman took a gentle first breath. Her chin lifted. She opened her eyes. The irises were pure platinum. "You're the Seraph," Kylar said dumbly. "Indeed. And you are a man. And you have awakened me. But you are not the one."
Sorry?
Kylar said. The Seraph stared at him, and as he met those platinum eyes, all he could see was magic, oceanic, and mercifully at rest.
"Are you going to do something bad to me now?"
The Seraph laughed.
"Should I? You frightened my little sisters badly."
She glanced at the door.
"Except for the one who holds your bond. I'll leave you to her tender mercies. Nameless? I like that dress better than the one your statue wears.
You've got great legs."
Her eyes widened, but he saw that she wasn't displeased.
"Me too," she said.
"But when one is 300 feet tall, it behooves one to err on the side of modesty."
"I can't believe I said that."
She arched an eyebrow at him.
What should I call you?"
"Impertinence suits you better, Nameless.
Ask your question."
"I lost a sword. I thought the speaker stole it, but I was wrong. Can you tell me if one of the other sisters stole it?" She tilted her head, weighing him.
"You assume friendship quickly. I can't decide if that's a function of youth, or naivete, or goodness, or your singular powers. Not everyone can weigh a soul in a glance, Nameless."
"Sorry for the presumption, my lady."
"Give me your sword hand."
He extended his hand and she studied the palm. She saw magic swirling over it. He said,
"It's been 3 months since I..."
The magic died suddenly. The Seraph's eyes snapped up from his palm to his eyes, and in her platinum eyes, Kylar saw fear.
"You fool,"
she whispered.
"Do you have any idea what you've done?"
Between the intensity of her tone and her fear, Kylar felt a snake of terror twisting in his guts.
What could make the seraph afraid? I lost my sword, Retribution. It was my birthright.
Retribution?
Was that Achilles' attempt at a joke?
Kylar said nothing. What had he revealed here? She'd told him he was naive to trust her. How much did she know now?
I don't know what you're talking about, he said woodenly. It's a simple sword inscribed with a word, either justice or mercy.
And it depends on you to dispense whichever is deserved.
Well, yeah.
I don't suppose that reminds you of anything.
You see the state of souls. You mete out justice or mercy, giving people what they deserve.
What does that make you?
Kylar remembered the wolf's words, laughing at his name, telling him Kylar Stern was a title.
A judge,
Kylar said quietly.
And a judge decides the application of what?
The seraph asked, equally quiet. The law? Together, Jorsen, Alcestis, and Ezra created two artifacts, Kurok, the Sword of Power, and Ioris, the Scepter of Law.
But it's supposed to be,
His voice trailed off. He'd seen Kurok shift into any shape it needed to be. He'd seen Retribution raise the words mercy or justice in different languages. Why not hide Ioris as a sword? Where better to hide Ioris than with Durzo, whose Kakari concealed him? What better place to keep the Kakari of concealment than concealing one of the greatest artifacts in history? Kylar should have known Durzo wouldn't have retrieved Retribution simply to spare Kylar of the inconvenience of having his swords blunted. How many times had Durzo told him the blade was priceless?
Do you know where it is?
Kylar asked. Holding his hand, the seraph closed her eyes and glowed golden. The light started in her forehead and expanded until it filled the room. Then it whooshed. For an instant, Kylar swore the entire seraph, the big one, was aglow. Then the woman opened her eyes.
It is in Treethel.
Treethel? Kylar remembered the name dimly. Achilles Thorn had been the prince of Treethel.
It's in Black Barrow.
The seraph hadn't released his hand.
Nameless.
The scepter, Ioris, gives a mage no additional power, but it gives 1,000 times the control. A mage with Ioris in hand could unravel anything, given time.
So what was Neff doing? With Ioris, he could take apart the shield around Ezra's wood and take Kurok. What would he do once he had both? What would he not do? Even Jorsen Alcestis hadn't wielded both together. There was no choice. Kylar was the judge. If Neff was invulnerable to magic, Kylar was the only one who could stop him. Kylar might be the only one who knew the full extent of the danger. He had to stop him.
God, how am I going to tell Eileen?
At the thought of Eileen, Kylar felt Vi flinch through the bond. There was a deep guilt there. And fear. Kylar turned from the seraph, anger stirring once again. He opened the door to the classroom and strode in, slamming the door behind him. There were 50 senior students in the room, every one of them surrounded with a nimbus of magic. Vi stood in the center of them. She alone didn't hold her talent.
What have you done?
Kylar demanded.
She made me swear not to tell you, Vi said.
What the fuck have you... What have I done? Vi shouted. What have you done? Breaking in here and treating my sisters like this? How dare you?
Kylar opened his mouth, but Vi cut him off.
No! Sit down and shut up!
The words hit him like a whip through their earrings bond. The compulsion made Kylar's mouth snap closed, and he sat instantly. There was no chair. He sat on the ground. Vi was as stunned as he was. He tried to open his mouth, but it wouldn't budge. He couldn't move. Vi had told him that the rings broke her compulsion to Gareth because its bond superseded Gareth's magic. But Kylar hadn't appreciated what that meant until now. The earrings' bond was compulsive. One way. Vi could make him do anything she wanted, and she had known all along. Kylar saw from her expression. She simply hadn't invoked her power before. The sisters stared round-eyed at Vi. A moment before, they had all been terrified of this man who had violated the chantry and broken the chains their most powerful sister had laid on him. In the next, Vi had defended her sisters, and he obeyed her command as if he had no choice. Whatever other repercussions Kylar's foolishness was going to have, he had certainly increased Vi's cachet with her sisters. A riot of emotions flooded through the bond, but Vi mastered herself quickly. "She went to join Logan's army," she said. "She was afraid you wouldn't fight otherwise." Aware of the other women listening to her conversation with her husband, Vi said nothing more. She handed him a note. "You can stand now. And speak." Kylar stood and took the note, but he had no words. The door on the far side of the classroom banged open, and dozens of sisters began pouring in, with Sister Ariel at their head. Almost all of them, Kylar realized, were Magi who'd trained with Vi. One of them drew something like a spear of coruscating red and silver light. It flew straight at Kylar's chest, then dissolved in midair. Around the room, sisters began kneeling, mouths dropping open once more. Kylar turned to see who had saved him. The seraph walked into the room, glowing gold. "I'm sorry if my friend frightened you," the seraph said. "Forgive him. We needed to speak about a threat that faces us all. If he fails, all our fighting will be for naught." The awed sisters parted. With one last glance at Vi, Kylar left.